it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
A little different rejoin. Not Stiz's typical style.
Name that band, Andy.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nailed it.
It's actually,
did I really get that?
It's yeah. Ramondre Stevenson's theme song.
That's right.
Give it away now. I was going to say like Slippery cheap Fingers shot. Or something. That was a cheap shot. That was not very nice, Bitsy.
Oh, I liked
falls,
it. I
falls
liked
in
it.
Line with your recent trends of picking the Yankees, picking the Bills, taking cheap shots at Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, screw New England.
Foxborough faithful, my ass. Nick Fitzy Stevens, fanboy. Mm-hmm. Andy Hart, Ted Johnson also alongside. It is 3:30 on a Tuesday. Ted's here, and he has just been frothing at the mouth for like 24 hours to talk about this Sunday night football game, the national TV coming out party for Drake May, so we can hold back no longer. It is time for Ted to talk.
It's time for a TED Talk.
In a pothole that time in the form of Ted Johnson.
This was a disappointing play. Patriots had momentum.
From three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson.
This guy is one of the best inside linebackers in football.
It's like playing hide-and-go-seek with the football. The snap of the ball, said hike.
On WEEI Afternoons.
And as always, TED Talk is brought to you by Boston Prolotherapy. If joint pain has you riding the bench, do what Ted did. Eliminate your joint pain with Dr. Franke of Boston Prolotherapy, online at bostonprolotherapy.com.
He's the best, Andy. Al Franke, go see him. His office is in Stoneham.
I might have to. My elbow right here.
There you go. He fixed my tennis elbow. I couldn't believe how much pain I was in, and it's gone now. It doesn't work for everybody and for everything, but you get a free consult with Dr. Yeah. Franke. He will tell you whether or not he thinks his treatment will work. If not, he will tell you where to go so you can get the proper treatment you need.
Tell him Ted sent me, right?
Rare is it that somebody says, this garage can't fix your car, but I'll recommend one that can.
That's the high-quality person wow. that you're dealing with Dr. Franke.
Dr. Franke, I'm going to be like, when I get to like the 13th or 14th rep at 225, yeah. it really starts to
throw. Oh, sir, God. You suffer from extreme hardoism.
you know what? I don't know about you, but it was killing me. It was when I sleep on my side. And so your elbow's underneath, yep. All your weight's mm-hmm. on that elbow, and it was just shooting pain. Oh, yeah. And so now I can
get woken
sleep.
Up in the night.
Yeah. Yeah. You'll sleep better.
My problem is when I wake up.
Then it's all downhill from there.
Shoot. I don't know what to say about that. Help you out that one, bub.
All right. So, Ted, great game.
Tremendous.
Great job by two of the hosts on this show predicting that the Patriots could go to Buffalo, would go to Buffalo, and get a three-point victory.
Do you remember what our score predictions were? I don't know if you got
I was name. 31-28. You were 23-20? No.
23-21, I think. So.
You were close. Yeah. You were off by one point. Nice job, Ted. At least we had faith.
Yep.
Unlike the others. You know, Stiz likes to pretend he's like the Chelsea boy, you know, footy pajama, mm-hmm. Patriots for life, mm-hmm. and he's picking Josh Allen in the Bills.
I thought we'd make the spread. I didn't see us winning outright. So, hey, congratulations, Patriots. Let's hope we keep up the momentum.
All right, so let's start here with Drake May. I feel like based on everything we've seen for the last 2 days, social media, national, Drake May was the story of the game. Drake May, what'd you see from him?
I saw a brilliant game. I saw a game that he built off of from the game previous against Carolina. I thought he was great against Carolina, but he was even more spectacular against Buffalo. So he's playing the way that I thought he could play, but he just was inconsistent last year, and the wins weren't coming, and the rest of the team wasn't that good. But this year, it's a much better team. And he's doing special plays on top of just making the average play
more and
more consistently, which is great. So I am surprised, but I'm not surprised by all the love that he's getting recently. I couldn't believe what I was reading on social media. You guys have been talking about the last 2 days about how people are on board with it.
It's a waterfall.
But I'll be honest, if you just kind of like watch his game, you know, I watch the condensed version on NFL.com, right?
Yeah.
The game replays. And you see him under center, and then you see him doing boots, and then you see him, you know, making plays as he's getting tackled. And you see him, like, throwing off platform 40 yards downfield where, the you know, where Diggs is catching it with just barely getting two toes in. And you're just like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. It's almost what is so amazing about it. Like, if you watch, we all watched, a lot of us watched Mac Jones on Thursday night. He had a great game, but it's kind of clunky. It yeah. doesn't look easy. Drake May, the way he does the fake handoff here, put the ball there, pull it back, play action, turn his, it looks so seamless and so easy. That's what is so amazing, is just how effortless it looks like he has to play to be as productive as he is, if that makes sense.
The fluidity of his athleticism.
It's so fluid.
Yes.
Fitzy. And he checked off.
Fitzy. Gosh.
Fisty is his good name. We're just going to stick with Fisty from now on.
Fisty. Okay, Fisty.
Oh, it's not a good name, nickname.
But,
now,
he, but you never know. Depends on what circles you roam through. Yeah.
All right.
But we had talked about some boxes he needed to check off. And the boxes were win. You need to win more.
Correct.
You need to do it with the game on the line.
Correct. Come
and
from
most
behind.
Importantly, you need to not screw it up, not have the turnover with the game on the line. He checked
all of those.
And so I get why he's getting so much hype nationally. This mm-hmm. was I said to Fitzy, if we're gonna get excited about that fourth quarter for J.J. McCarthy, that one little fourth quarter, yeah. right? When everybody said J.J. McCarthy has it, he's the next guy. The whole thing.
He told us he was gonna bring us back.
Well, savage. If you watch Drake May go to Buffalo against Josh Allen, an undefeated football team in front of Bills Mafia on Sunday night with those fancy white jerseys and everything, like,
they look good, didn't it?
That's an impressive performance.
Yeah, but now they're gonna only remember the stinking Maybe. Taste of defeat. Maybe. Ted, I thought of you first play. Because you love those little play action and boot. And that first play was a play action to the right side of the line, and then he rolled left, booted to the left side of the line. Quick completion, and it was just like he took the profit. He looked so good. He gave them what they thought they were going to get, which was going to be a student body to the right, but then he rolled left. It was great. That told me Josh was in the bag early on.
Hold on, and real quick, and I'll say this, that first play kind of gave you a preview to what the rest of the game was going to be. So it was a bootleg, moving pocket, which he's – you see how good he was on the moving pockets, or out of the pocket, and he threw it to Steph Diggs, who caught it at about 5 yards downfield, made a guy miss, and then gained another 7. The catch and run. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Steph Diggs, 100 yards last week, 146 yards this week, and everybody you listen to, he brought the juice basically all week long, leading right up till Sunday Night Football. We got to see it as viewers on the sideline with Melissa Stark, and most importantly, on the field, where, again, 10 completions on 12 attempts. Like, the efficiency and the rapport. Steph Diggs and this relationship with Drake May, what are you seeing?
Yeah, so the Buffalo Bills going in this game were the third-ranked team in yards after catch, and a lot of that was Khalil Shakir, and he had a couple catches and runs, but nothing that really hurt us too bad. But it was Steph Diggs' ability to catch and run. It was phenomenal. There was a lot of things. This was the Steph Diggs game, if you will, because I thought he set the tone. I loved his interview with Melissa Stark before the game. I just liked I just liked where his head was. He was intense, and I described it in the post game on NBC Sports Boston as kind of like the term they use in hockey is sandpaper. He's kind of that sandpaper player for this team. Gritty, tough. Just agitator, but in positive ways, doesn't do anything that's going to get you a flag. And I just thought he set the tone with his mindset, and it seemed to rub off on the players, which was evident to me. But his play was incredible. So now we go, was he a slot receiver? Or he's lost a step, so he's not really a boundary receiver. He's playing basically boundary and slot 50-50 at this point. And we're all wondering, does he have a go-to guy? You know, is it good that he's spreading the ball around, that he doesn't have one guy he can go to? I think after this game, it's been pretty clear and pretty evident now who, moving forward, his go-to guy is, and that is Steph Diggs. And good luck, good luck trying to cover him, because he's a tough cover. What he was doing so well, and I talked this in the technique portion of the show last night, is he comes back for the ball.
Yep.
He runs his route, and then he comes back for the ball. That play... that 2nd and 9 play there, that the Patriots are down 10-6 in the third quarter, and that bomb to Steph Diggs on the right sideline. If that play was, they blitzed from the left side, it was an overload blitz, and you saw the Drake May felt the pressure, so he flushes out to the right. Steph Diggs had already kind of run his route. There was nowhere.
Right.
And so he sees his quarterback scrambling. he pivots around his coverage and loops around and runs another about 15 yards downfield to an area of the field where it's away from the safety, away from his coverage, and the only place you could pretty much throw it and catch it. And you saw Drake May kind of point like, go,
oh, yeah.
down.
Mm-hmm.
And, guys, that kind of, you know what that's reminiscent of?
Josh Allen.
And Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, where guys are on the same page. So it looks like, even though Steph Diggs claims he only knows half the playbook, that those two are on the same page. They're simpatico, much like a lot of us, what we thought DeMario Douglas was going to be for Drake May.
Who?
That's Steph Diggs. So a brilliant game, and I believe my guess is Steph Diggs going into that game was the fourth most efficient receiver in the NFL. My guess that put him up to propelled him up to number one after that performance. We will see, but an amazing game by Steph Diggs, and he set the tone with his attitude before the game.
All right, that's the tent poles of the offensive success in Buffalo coming up next on TED Talk here on WEEI Afternoons. We got to get to the defense because they certainly played their part in holding Josh Allen and the Bills in check. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons rolling through a TED Talk coming off of Patriots 23, Bills 20. Now we got to get to the defense, Ted Johnson. Let's talk about some pass rush. Let's talk about some Milton Williams and the guys up front.
Let's do that. So the pass rush, even though Josh Allen was only sacked once, he was pressured 42% of the time.
Ooh.
So there's a reason he was getting flushed out. I thought they had a decent game plan, even though Josh Allen did rush for, what, he had 9 carries for 53 yards.
Yeah, a couple chunks.
No touchdowns.
Nope.
But in nothing that really hurt you. He had the longest one he had was for 19 yards. But the pass rush, again, only one sack. But they're pressuring the quarterback. And if we'll talk about that, Marcus Jones – interception there in the red zone. Barmore beat a double team to kind of just get his hand up and impact the throw. It doesn't show up in a stat sheet necessarily. I mean, it causes in pressures, but not the pressures aren't really on stat sheets. So that was a big play. So that even though the defense started off hot with sacks, they led the league through the first 2 weeks in sacks with 8. They have cooled down. They only have 2. However, you have Milton Williams and Christian Barmore, who are top 10 in pressure rate in the NFL for interior defensive linemen.
Mm.
So that bodes well. A couple other things to focus on with the defense. The linebackers are starting to play better. Okay, so they led the league in missed tackles through the first three games.
Yep.
And the last two games, they've really, really gotten much, much better in their tackling. Robert Spillane, who we questioned the first few weeks of the season, is this guy really all that he was advertised? He's starting to play like the guy that was advertised. He's a tackle monster, and he's also forced that great fumble on Keon Coleman down in their own side of the field to give the Patriots a short field, which was great. The Marcus Jones interception, I just want to talk about what the Patriots did. So the Patriots are not a heavy blitz team now. I think we know that now. There's enough evidence that would suggest that. After the first game, they blitzed all the time. The last four games, not so much. So they're getting pressure with 4 guys, which is ideal. But they're doing a good job. The secondary is playing so much better. They were the worst passing defense through the first 3 games. They were giving up the most passing yards. The last 2 games, I wonder what the difference is. What's happened the last 2 games?
Gonzo!
Maybe Christian Gonzalez coming back has certainly helped. But they did a great job of disguising on that Marcus Jones interception, they were, I think, on the 18-yard line. And they showed cover 2 to start the pre-snap, okay? And then they rotated to a cover 1 rat. I don't want to get too much.
Is that rat you threw in there?
There's 2 rats on the play. You have a deep middle of the field safety rat, who was Jalen Hawkins, and then a short middle of the field rat, who was Robert Spillane.
I thought Vrabel didn't like rats.
It's maybe they don't call it rat maybe because he doesn't like rats. Maybe they call it mouse.
Okay, perfect.
Or so, all right, yeah, we called it a rat when I played. And it fooled Josh. Josh thought he was covered too. And so when I think it was Shakir who made that ink cut, he didn't know that there was a rat coming down to trap. That was Jalen Hawkins. But it was a terrific individual effort from Marcus Jones to undercut and make that play. The defense is disguising really, really well. They're not missing tackles anymore. They were the worst defense in the red zone, one of my key categories, and I harp on all the time, third down and red zone. They were 88%. Anytime you got into the red zone, pretty much, if you're a team playing the Patriots defense, they scored.
Mm-hmm.
Not in this game. They were only 50%. That's a big difference. And getting that interception in the red zone from Marcus Jones was huge. So those are the main things. The pass rush is still very good, even though Josh Allen beat you a little or got some yards with his legs, but nothing to kill you too bad. I liked they put a spy on him at times, Spillane and Gibbons and Christian Ellis, and they did a good job spying and so forcing fumbles, forcing turnovers. They won the turnover margin. It's the first time in 27 games that the Buffalo Bills lost the turnover battle. They had gone 26 straight games where they were either even or had won the turnover battle. They were -2 in this game, and so that was great to see from the defense. So the defense is starting to look like, dare I say it, a top 10 type defense now that Christian Gonzalez is back.
And you're getting return on investment. Milton Williams is one of the best defensive tackles right now in pressures in football. Robert Spillane is suddenly piling up tackles. And on the linebacker level, suddenly you get a little depth there. You get Tavai back in the mix. Gibbons has come on. Even Ellis, I thought, played better early in this game. And I always thought in your heyday, not that these guys can carry the jocks of any of you guys, some of the best parts of your linebacker cores were the depth and the ability to put the right guys out there situationally, get them off the field.
No doubt.
You might be starting to develop that for Zach Hardcore, the defensive coordinator. So one of the things you wanted to talk about with this football team right now is some resiliency. Where are we seeing that?
So this team in the past three, four, 5 years is once they get down, they usually pretty much put a pin in it. They're done. But that's not the case. They were down a couple score, or they were down in the Miami game a couple times. They fought back and won that game. They were down in this game and fought back and won. If you look at their stats, the first half, only 1 for 5 on third down. They were averaging 4.4 yards per play, 0 for 2 in the red zone. They had fumbled. Drake May was 9 for 16, 85 yards. 4.4 yards, I already said that, per pass play. It just wasn't it wasn't looking very good. And then they come out in the second half, completely different team. I mean, Drake May, hair on fire, lights it up. I've always described it, like, to be a really good team or a good quarterback, Peyton Manning could throw 3 interceptions in the first half and then come out and throw 4 touchdown passes in the second half. You don't let the bad mistakes pile on. You readjust, you make adjustments, and you go out there and you kick ass in the second half. I like the resiliency I'm seeing from this team. In a hostile environment, being down 10-6 in the middle of the third quarter, to come back and win that game, to me, shows character. If you do it once, you can do it again. And if you've done it twice already this year, that reminds me of a team, of my 2003 team that I played on. Now, we got to see a whole heavy season of it.
Comp.
Whoa. Just in the resiliency department, where we would be down, we'd go into the fourth quarter down a lot of times. We never panicked. The Patriots did not panic in this game. I loved that. Drake May got more locked in, more focused. He wasn't getting skittish. He was very calm under the pressure. So I like the resiliency I'm seeing. The defense played great. The Drake May, Steph Diggs connection looks like it's on point. And so I understand kind of the fervor for this team, because they're playing the way a lot of us thought they would play before the season started. That first game against the Raiders just took the wind out of the sails. A lot of us couldn't believe how bad that performance was, but they look like a completely different team today than they even did 3 weeks ago, which is pretty incredible.
Thank you for coming to his TED Talk. Up next, we got to talk about that fervor that Ted just alluded to. The Patriots are great. The Patriots are going to win double-digit games. They're going to the playoffs. They have a young quarterback, and they have a first-year head coach.
Which one of those guys is driving this bus toward the postseason in Foxborough? A little debate there next here on WEEI Afternoons. Don't shake your head at me, Ted.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.